Football wins another nail biter. Volleyball extends its sweep streak to 4. And soccer wins away from home. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of season 3 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
I'm doing good, man. You know, back from fall break. Missed you, though. You know.
Missed you, too. What'd you do over fall break?
You already know, man. My usual nerd things. So I'm not even going to get into it. So we got some good sports to talk about today. So let's get started.
All right, let's get right into it. So while everyone else was enjoying fall break, a lot of the athletic teams, of course, as you're on the track team, you're not in season yet. So you got a nice little break. But all the other in-season sports had action this weekend. So we had football starting off in Hastings, coming off a nail-biter loss, turning it into a nail-biter victory.
So we had a nail-biter loss and then a nail-biter victory.
Yes, so if you guys remember from last week, we had that heartbreaking homecoming day loss to Midland. That one was in double overtime. But we flipped the script and ended up beating the Hastings Broncos 32-29.
Why is it always close games?
It's so close. And these games have been so high scoring as well. There's been about 260 points scored in the last three games.
260.
You combine them from each team.
200?
Yeah, because we got 60 in this last one. Okay. Add that to the 110 from last week. That's 170. Add that to the almost 100. Jeez. That was scored the Mount Marty game. So you get about 270.
All right, let's get into it. Wait, what's get some stats for you, man.
So the main story of the day was Adam Van Cleve doing it all over the field on offense. He was the main guy that our quarterback Gideon Stark was targeting, but then he also got a lot of reps in at running back.
Oh yeah,
so you don't see him there very often, but Carlos Collazo is currently injured. So Adam Van Cleve was running back 1 against Hastings. He had 30 carries for 110 yards and 1 touchdown. Mm. But that wasn't the only touchdown he got on the day. Receiving-wise, 2 touchdowns. He had 13 catches for 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gideon Stark, obviously, threw those touchdowns. He had just those two touchdowns to Van Cleve on the day. Not the best on the turnover stats. He had, unfortunately, 3 interceptions, but he completed 29 of his 55 pass attempts, threw for 306 yards. So, overall, solid performance from him. Yeah, Van Cleve was the only one to get any touchdowns for us. I guess the second main story of the day would be Peyton Atwood. He's been incredible all season long. He went 4-for-4 on field goals.
4-for-4.
4-for-4 on field goals, a long of 38. He went 2-for-3 on extra points, but the one he missed was blocked.
I was going to say that. I was going to ask, did it get blocked?
Cause yeah.
You don't really miss a PAT as much, only if it gets blocked.
You don't go 4-for-4 on your field goals and miss an extra point.
I mean, it's possible, but I'm not just saying
that. It is possible, yes. But not for Peyton Atwood. He doesn't miss extra points. So, it was blocked, so unless he was taking his sweet little time getting up to the ball, it wasn't really his fault. So we'll give him a pass on that one. He got GPAC Special Teams Player of the Week. Van Cleve got GPAC Offensive Player of the Week. So great to see those,
right
those
on.
Honors for those guys. Just looking a little bit about the defense. We had Grant Huss lead the team in total tackles. 6 solo, 4 assists. Not the worst day for the defense. Not the best day. You know, you don't want to give up 29 points, but
I mean,
when you
it's
got an
than,
offense.
It's better than, yeah. It's better than getting up 60. It's better than getting up 60.
Definitely. So an improvement certainly on the last game. An overall decent performance. If we just look at the team totals, we had double the first downs that Hastings got. We had 30. They had 15.
Mm.
We had 453 yards of total offense compared to Hastings' 252. Our rushing, we had 147 yards. They had 130. So we really outdid them in the passing stats. So the 306 passing to Hastings, 122. So pretty solid performance on the offensive stats. Turnovers, we were pretty good. We only had one fumble. The interceptions weren't great, but we only had one fumble. Hastings fumbled once, but we didn't get the ball back. So, yeah. I saw a quote from Dabber Cow in Jake Knobel's article, and it was basically saying, you know, I love coaching this team so much, but man, it's a wild ride. And these games have been crazy, but I wouldn't want to do it with any other team. So
like a roller coaster, man.
Literally, that's what these games have been, roller coasters.
Go up, down, we're back up with it. I'm not trying to basically, knock on wood, but I don't want that.
No, we don't want to come back down. And we're going to need to be on our A game this weekend because you know who we got?
Who they got?
Morningside.
Oh, sweet goodness.
So Morningside isn't the top ranked. So, correction. They are not the top team in the GPAC. And Dort is ahead of them right now.
Right.
But Morningside's the highest ranked team in the GPAC. The poll that I most recently checked, it had them at number 4 in the country.
Wow.
We're at 23 right now.
Okay, we're moving up.
We're moving up. We're moving up. For sure. So it should be a good match, a top 25 matchup. You know, never know what's going to happen in one of those.
Any given Saturday.
Saturday, it's going to be an away game.
Darn.
So, yeah, unfortunately, can't make it out to that one. I mean, if you want to drive there, go for it. It'd be great.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, in my opinion, I wouldn't mind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then actually, correction. Another correction. Oh, gosh.
Goodness gracious.
Morningside has dropped in the national rankings.
To how far?
11.
They went down by 8?
Yeah.
No, they went down by 7.
They had a loss to Northwestern last week.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what dropped them. So Dort actually is the leader of the conference and the rankings as well.
Okay. Not bad.
So, yeah, the GPAC, very competitive conference. As always, you got Dort in at number 7. You got Morningside in at number 11. You've got Concordia at 23 and Northwestern at 24.
That's not bad. I actually like that. I
mean, not bad at all. Midland is receiving votes. So you've got 4 teams in the top 25 and 1 team just outside. So, yeah, a very competitive conference. Usually you get 2 or 3 national qualifiers from the GPAC. So it's going to be a big game coming up. If you can win this game, you put yourself in a really good spot to be selected for the national playoffs.
When was the last time when Concordia been to the playoffs?
Beats me.
Dang, that's kind of like a little bit sad, but it's something we can see and we'll actually talk about when it happens too.
Yeah, hopefully it happens this year.
Yeah.
Never know. But moving on from teams that are fighting for their playoff spot to a team that pretty much has it secured already, we move on to the volleyball team.
Yes, we do.
Anything else could happen this season, and they're probably still a shoe-in for the national tournament. We're going to talk about their sweep streak, their win streak, their 2 games from this week. So, we talked, I think last week, or 2 weeks ago, about the loss to, was it Northwestern?
Northwestern.
That Northwestern loss, very unfortunate, the 3-1 loss, but since then, it was October 10th, so since then, we've swept 4 teams in a row, Waldorf and Hastings last week, and then Dakota Wesleyan and Mount Marty this week. So we'll get started with that Dakota Wesleyan game. Again, the 3-0 sweep, we won the sets 25-15, 25-22, and 25-17. So they weren't too close in any of them. We hit really well. We hit 289. We had lots of people in the 400s. Addie Kierkegaard, who unfortunately has sustained an injury, so she's not playing right now.
Mm.
But against Dakota Wesleyan, she went 5 kills on 12 attempts with no errors. We had Ella Waters go 9 kills on 15 attempts, 2 errors. Ava Green go and 5-for-12, just like Kierkegaard did. And Ashley Kett go up for 11 kills on 31 attacks. So really solid performance. Hitting-wise, at the net on defense, 20 block assists and 1 solo. So that brings probably 10 blocks.
Okay.
So that's a lot of points off of those. Dakota Wesleyan couldn't get much going. They hit under 100, only had 1 block on the day. So we dominated at the net as usual. Nothing too crazy about this game, honestly. It looked to be a pretty comfortable performance for Concordia. Look, in the first set, the scores exchanged hands a little bit. The lead exchanged hands for the first little bit, and then we pulled away. Second set, again, it was close at the start. Actually, it was close all the way up to the finish on the second set. But then the third set, we went up early and never looked back.
Mm. That's a good way to start. That's a good way. That's a good way to sweep a team, man.
Yes, definitely. Then you look at this game against Mount Marty, and this one was a bit more topsy-turvy at the start.
Oh, yeah.
So you start off, Mount Marty gets the first point, okay. They get the second point, okay. We get the third point, you think, all right, settling in, we're going to get some points here. But no. Mount Marty goes on a 6-point streak to go up 8-1 at the start. We call a timeout. So we're not feeling the best right now. Just us in the stands watching the game.
Yep.
Not feeling the best right now. They end up going 9-3, 10-4, but then we start clawing it back a little bit. We go 10-6, then it's 11-6, but then we get it back to 10-12 through an Ashley Keck kill. And then we tie the score up at 17-17, and then we pull away from there to get the 25-20 win.
And the funny thing is that that's the same score for the second set as well, too.
Yes, it is. So this one, we kind of reversed what Mount Marty did. We went up 9-2. Then it goes 10-3. They start pulling it back. They tie it up 12-12. They don't end up taking the lead in this one, but it stays close. It's, you know, 17-19, close game. But then we start pulling away again. They score on our set point, but then we end up getting the point for another 25-20 win. Third set.
Oh, that was a nail biter. Let me
tell
you.
This was the closest of them all. So, ends up being very even through the first couple points. It's, you know, 6-6. We start pulling away a little bit, but then they bring it right back. So we're up 16-10 at one point, but then you come back and 23-23. Everything to play for still. We're all thinking, come on, finish it off. We don't want to go to a fourth set.
Exactly.
Just take him in the third. We end up getting the two last points, a kill from Ella Waters and then a kill from Ashley Keck to finish the game off. We haven't talked about her at all yet, but really the highlight from this game on an individual player statistic thing would be Molly Martin. She had herself a day at the net.
Really?
Molly Martin, 12 attacks, 1 error, 10 kills for a 750 kill percentage.
You said 10 kills?
10 kills on just 12 attempts.
I'm like letting that sink in for a second, but wow.
So she swung at the ball 10 or 12 times and 10 of them resulted in points. 750 kill percentage.
So she only, out of the 12, only 2 didn't go.
Yeah, so basically 12 hits. She had one that was a mistake, and Mal Marty got a point.
Yep.
And the other one was just, you know,
probably a rally.
A dig, yeah.
Just a rally.
Yep. The other 10 were all points.
Wow.
So she had a really good day.
That's a performance.
You look at Ella Waters, she had 7 kills on 20 attempts. Ashley Keck also had 10 kills. She had 34 attempts. As usual, she's the one getting set the most. You look at the blocks, 2 solo blocks, 10 assists. You know, Molly Martin had one of those solos and 2 of the assists. So really solid day from her. Maddie Paulson, she had a really good game in the first set. She played well throughout.
Right.
But first set when we were down, as we were making the comeback, she came into the game. We were down 17-18, and she had 2 really big blocks in a row to give us the lead, and then didn't look back after that.
Yeah. Like the game, like that, like the same quote, keep attacking.
Exactly. Let it rip.
Let it rip.
That's what Coach Bolt keeps saying, let it rip.
Let it rip.
He told me that he saw a couple tips towards the end of one of the sets, or he saw one tip in particular, told the player, like, hey, let it rip, basically, and she said, yep, I know, next play. She gets the kill, swung hard at it, and got the point.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's so good. That's how it's going.
Yeah, so, you know, multiple close sets on this, but again, able to get that sweep. Bulldogs able to get the points when it matters. Coach Bolt talks a lot about, you know, the let it rip motto, those points after 20, and that's really where this team shines. Because every set there was, you know, the other team got to 20.
Mm.
But we ended up getting the win.
A win is a win, and that was a way to get none, even though it's a close one.
A win is indeed a win, and looking forward to another win on Saturday. College of St. Mary is the opponent. This one will be in Omaha, so an away game. Looking forward to that at 5 p.m., so good luck to the volleyball team.
All right. Now, you know, we're talking about the volleyball. You know what season's coming close to an end?
What season?
Soccer season.
No.
It's time. It was almost close to the GPAC tournament. So soccer has already got like maybe close to 2 games left, if I'm correcting.
Yes, 2 regular season games left, and then it's on to the tournament.
So start off with the men's side.
Yes, so we've only had 1 game since our last episode. We faced Dakota Wesleyan in Mitchell, South Dakota. So third year in a row we've had to go to Mitchell. That lovely four-hour scenic drive. But Dakota Wesleyan right now is sitting third in the GPAC standings. We're fourth, so it was a top four matchup, and we ended up coming out 2-1 victors.
Mm.
So, a couple different stories from this game. Number one, Richard Buschmeister, he got the one goal, he got the first goal for us. He had two shots on the game, both were on target, scored the one goal. Really nice fake with his right foot, put it on his left, and hit it into the top corner from just inside the box. That put us up 1-0 in the 12th minute of play. Then the second goal, it's a bit up in the air who actually scored this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a corner kick in the 55th minute from Hugo Garrote. Ball gets played into the box. The stats have it listed as a Michael Weibel goal. So we'll credit him with the goal. He even says he doesn't really know if he scored it. It was just a big mass of bodies, and it hit someone and went in.
Hey, I mean,
a goal's a goal.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but you just took the words out of my mouth on that one.
Yeah, so we'll give Mike the goal. He's been playing really well all season long and definitely deserves to be on the stat sheet. And then Hugo gets that assist. Bit of a scare in the 68th minute. Dakota Wesleyan scored to make it 2-1.
Uh-oh.
And after that, it was batten down the hatches, park the bus, don't give up another goal.
I like that motto.
So we were sitting very deep in our own half, just everything out, not really trying to score at all, just trying to run out the clock and get the win. I'll tell you something, though. I'll tell you who helped us get that win was our goalie, Inigo.
Mm.
Inigo Chavarria, he had himself a day. He had 9 saves on the game. 6 in the first half, 3 in the second half, including one with about 5 seconds to go in the game. So he played really well. One of our center backs, Nico, he had a goal line clearance with 1.5 minutes left. So that, you know, kept it 2-1 as well. Shot count was pretty lopsided. Dakota Wesleyan had 18 shots. We only had 6. They outshot us for sure. A lot of them were from far out,
right?
You know, long range shots. Maybe some. There was a few free kicks they sent way over the goal. One they almost scored, but a couple they shot way over the goal. You look at the shots on goal. They had 10 on target. We had 3. We scored 2 of them. They only scored 1. So you can say whatever you want about the shot count, but the goal count is all that really matters in the end. Richie had the most shots on the team. Jasper Hofflin, Joe McCarroll, Milo Higardi, and then Mike each had 1 shot.
Mm. Okay, that's a good win. That's a good win. No,
yes,
scary
certainly. And so we're sitting right now fourth in the standings.
Okay.
1 point behind Dakota Wesleyan, but Dakota Wesleyan's played an extra game, so we still have some wiggle room to fight back and get that third place spot. So if we win out our next 2 games, we'll finish minimum 3rd.
Okay. Now it's time for the other side of the soccer, women's soccer.
Yes.
When the women's soccer won 1-0.
Yeah, same margin.
Same margin. Now, before I get into it, Concordia ladies are sitting 2nd place in the GPAC conference.
All right, who's top right now?
I think it is Morningside.
Morningside, okay. The one loss that we have.
That one loss with it, Morningside. But throughout this game, you see not a lot of scoring in this game right here. I mean, y'all are going back and forth. The only score goal scored, was in the 2nd at the 68th minute.
Yep.
Now, you might be thinking, was it Kirsten Garter? Was it Taylor Slate? Was it Rios? Mm-hmm. Was it Andrews?
Yeah.
It wasn't. Not those 3. It was, actually, it was Elena Rios. It was Elena Ruiz.
Rios, though.
No, not bad. Elena Ruiz. It was Elena Ruiz with the goal.
Yes.
Unassisted. It was her own goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the goal right there. That was the only goal.
That's all she wrote.
Concordia outshot Dakota Wesleyan by 9, 18-9. And their goalie, obviously, Aaliyah, obviously had one save goal. And then that's pretty much it. Like, she had only 1 save goal. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, about all the shots, probably all the goals that Dakota Wesleyan shot were either too far to right, too far to the left, or way too high. Mm-hmm. Or even blocked by the defense.
Yeah. So, I was watching that game and, you know, Leah didn't have much to do in the goal, but the one save she made was pretty nice. So came up big when she needed to. obviously didn't need to very much in that game, but she did. You look at that shot count, you said 18 shots. Kirsten Garner had 9 of them. 5 shots on target. The Dakota Wesleyan goalie had a really good game. There was a couple shots Kirsten had where I was like, she shot it, and I was like, oh, that's definitely a goal. Somehow the keeper saved it, so
get flowers on that one.
Kirsten will be disappointed she didn't score, but really she had some nice shots in that one, and just the keeper was playing well. And that's when you need someone else to step up and get that goal, and Elena did just that.
She did.
Keep them at just 1 loss on the season. They're now 6-1-2 in the GPAC, 11-1-4 overall. So putting themselves in a really solid spot heading into the tournament, going to for sure get that first round home game, and then hopefully you'll get that semifinal home game as well if they make it.
So that's true. I mean, their last two home game, last two games are home.
Yes.
Their last two games are home. You got Dort this Saturday, and then their last game Wednesday against your old arch rival.
Ooh, the Doan.
The Doan. And it's all on Wednesday. That's going to be a good podcast to talk about.
That'll be fun.
The same thing for the men's side?
Yeah, so we got Dort Saturday at 1 o'clock. The women play at 3. And then we've got the game on Wednesday. It'll be 5:30 kickoff for the guys and 8 o'clock for the women against Doan.
I thought you were not going to say Doan today for a second, like the old Michigan, Ohio State thing and everything.
But won't even say their name.
Don't even say their name, but, you know, I'm not going to push on to it. I'm not going to push off.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, speaking of which, before, we got some good news because we got our first game for women's basketball this Saturday coming up.
Yes, we do. Same for the men.
Really?
But the women are the home game.
Yes.
So why don't you preview that women's game a little bit?
We're going to go against Kansas Christian College for the opener, season opener. Now, good choreo for last year. So this is a new basketball team. Obviously, there's some new changes, some new names coming in. Gregoria was 9-13 in the conference and 14-15 overall. So it's a good excitement to get basketball back for college. And hopefully we can actually have the noisemakers this time for the indoor season, for this season.
I think it's an NAIA rule that we can't have those.
I mean, come on. Well, I'm going to find a way. I'll find a way. No, I'm just playing. I'm going to do that.
We'll get the rubber chickens out for this season.
Ooh, rubber chickens. I would like that. But that's going to be their first season opener right there at home. But guys, tell me about the men's side for their first game, where they're going.
Yeah, so the men are coming off a 26-7 record from last season. They were 16-4 in the GPAC, tied for second place. Really good season overall. Ended up losing to Morningside in the conference championship game. But so second place in the league and the tournament, and then made it to nationals. Ended up winning the first round game and then lost in the second round to number 10 Baker. So coming off a very successful season, losing, you know, in the national tournament to a top 10 team, nothing to scoff at. They will have their season opener on Saturday at Graceland University.
Mm.
So that should be a fun one. That one is in Lamoni, Iowa. So we wish them the best of luck. They don't have a home game until November 7th for the Cattle Classic, where the women will be playing as well. And you're commentating some of those games.
I am commentating on the November 8th one on Saturday. Right. But I do have a co-host with me that's going
to
be doing it.
Might have to be there too. Might have to pull up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Might get to hear the full Talking Dogs cast at the Cattle Classic.
Exactly. It's going to be a live version of it, even though we're going to be commentating that whole time. Doesn't matter. It's still going to be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Last thing to preview, we got cross country coming up on Saturday as well. Lots of Saturday action. We've got the Doan University and College of St. Mary Blazing Tiger meets at Mahoney State Park in Ashland, Nebraska. That one starts at 10 a.m. That's usually a pretty competitive meet. It's the last, I guess, preparation meet before the GPAC Cross Country Championships. So we got 3 meets left. You got Blazing Tiger, GPAC Championships, and then National Championships.
And then after that, we'll be indoor season right away.
And then Aaron Spivey gets to put the spikes on and get going.
Oh, you made me feel old, man, even as a senior, man. You made me feel old.
It's your last season.
It is my last indoor season, though.
Ooh.
Goodness. But it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. You know, complete one last time with some friends and just going out and giving it my all.
Oh, for sure. You're breaking 46 this year.
Yes, absolutely. That is the plan.
All right. Well, as we look forward to all of those new sports starting up, can't forget about the ones finishing up. So we will not look too far into the future, but for now, That's been all for this episode 9 of season 3 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to follow us at cunisower.com/podcasts, and follow us on Spotify as well. But from Kyle Ulbrick, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!